After the lesson this morning, we'll be singing number 348, Almost Persuaded. There may be one or more in the audience this morning who needs to either obey the gospel of Jesus Christ or to confess some wrong in their life, some sin that they need to make known to the brethren, asking forgiveness from them, or whatever else there may be a need for. 348, Almost Persuaded. This morning, I'm going to be leading your minds in a discussion of the subject, living upright in an upside-down world. Living upright in an upside-down world. Brethren, I tell you, as days go by, time moves on. You look around, and the things around us, the world around us, is becoming more and more unknowing from our perspective. It is unrecognizable. That's really the word I'm trying to say. From God's perspective, the world is becoming deeper and deeper rooted and grounded in things that are just the opposite of what we as Christians believe and hold to. And think about it. We live in an upside down world. Ever since, in fact, the sin that took place in the Garden of Eden, this world has been upside down. Adam and Eve turned it upside down. And so we live in an upside down world. All those who serve God live in this upside down world. Now, that's not the perspective that the worldly see Christians. The worldly see the world as being okay, as being right side up. From their perspective, everything is okay. But from those who serve God, we see things differently because we have the truth. Romans chapter 3, verses 9 through 18, Paul talks about how sinful generalities they may be, but speaking of the world, it's sinful. It's rooted and grounded in sin and depravity and rebellion against God. And the world, generally speaking, always has been. And the reality also is that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all had our minds upside down, mixed up, at some point. The world was turned upside down at the very beginning, and it always has been. In fact, in Genesis chapter 6, there was but one family, Noah and his family, saved from the flood. They were the only ones living uprightly at that time. Noah was upright in the sight of God. The whole world was upside down. Starting to feel like that again. We look around, more and more people are becoming less and less interested in that which is right and that which is holy, that which is good. The majority has always been wrong. They've always been on the wrong side of things when it comes to God. The majority has always been wrong. Exodus 23 and verse 2, do not follow the multitudes to do evil. And we look around us today, yes, the multitudes are still pursuing evil. The straight and narrow gate and way of Matthew 7 and verses 13 and 14. And 1 John 5 and verse 19. In fact, verse 18, John says, we know that whoever is born of God does not sin. But he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. A while back, we studied 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9, and this is the same point being made here in chapter 5. Those who are following God, you can't follow God and sin at the same time. There is going to have to be some degree of turning away from God, turning away from His Word to sin. The one who is born of God is the one who is led by God. God does not lead us to sin. If the Word of God is in our heart, we will not sin. As long as we keep that Word in our heart and that be our guide, and it will not lead us wrong. But he says in verse 19, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God in eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Now, an understanding. What is the difference between those who are upright and those who are upside down? Well, fundamentally, it is our understanding. It is the truth. And our compliance with that truth. That is the determining factor. Whether we believe and obey the truth or not determines whether we are upside down like the rest of the world or we are right side up. The sad reality is most people do not believe, they don't understand, and they do not seek after the truth. In fact, when you stop and you think about the truth as it is, many statements that Jesus made are paradoxes. You know, he that is first shall be last, and he that is last shall be first. A lesson on humility. And it's really, from the world's perspective, that statement is just upside down. It's wrong side out. How in the world could someone be first and last at the same time? Well, doesn't make sense to the worldly minded person. But Jesus, stating a truth, a principle on humility, states the truth. And how true it is. The humble person. You know, we've got so many things wrong and upside down in our culture, our society. Think about it. I mean, the view that some people have of themselves and pride and humility, those opposing forces are fighting within all of us to some degree, but a person who has accepted the concept of pride and selfishness, I mean, they think of themselves when they have achieved and they become more individualistic, they become stronger and bolder and forceful and they get their way and they are able to inflict their pain or their desires on others, causing them pain. That, in the worldly person's mind, is a successful man. That's a manly man. When in reality, the humble, the gentle, the obedient, the self-governed, self-controlled man, that is a godly man. That is an upright man. That is a real man. You think about Jesus Christ, many people think Jesus as a sissy. He wasn't a sissy. A man who rules his own spirit has conquered more than a man who has conquered a city. And so we've just got so many things in our world upside down. In Acts the 17th chapter in verse 1, now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came up to Thessalonica where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, "This Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ." And some of them were persuaded, and a great multitude of the devout Greeks, and not a few of the leading women, joined Paul and Silas. You know, the worldly view, think about it, the worldly view of God's way and His people is upside down. And so here Paul is teaching the Word, reasoning from the Scriptures. The gospel message is reasonable. And so he's reasoning from the Scriptures, explaining and demonstrating how the gospel message is true. But the Jews, who were not persuaded, becoming envious, took some of the evil men from the marketplace and gathering them up, set all the city in an uproar and attacked the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying, "These who have turned the world upside down have come here too. Jason has harbored them, and these are all acting contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there is another king, Jesus." The worldly view God's ways as being upside down. And it is true with a few men in the New Testament. A few men. They took the truth of God's Word and they, with zeal and determination, preached it to men and did turn the world upside down in another sense. They turned it actually right side up, didn't they? They turned it right side up. But the world, the world's view of things is just opposite. Isaiah says in Isaiah 5 and verse 20, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe to the men mighty in drinking wine. Woe to men valiant for mixing intoxicating drink, who justify the wicked for a bribe and take away justice from the righteous man. Therefore, as the fire devours the stubble and the flame consumes the chaff, so their root will be as rottenness and their bosom will ascend like dust, because they have rejected the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel." When we reject God's word, listen, we are on the wrong side. And we will one day find that out. But today we live in a society where many put evil for good and good for evil. People call homosexuality good. And it makes me sick at my stomach when I see that on TV or anywhere else. And it's just the way our culture, our society is. Things that are good are called evil, and things that are evil are called good. Woe to them. In Isaiah 29 and verse 16, "Surely you have things turned around. Shall the potter be esteemed as the clay? For shall the thing made say of him who made it, 'He did not make me'? Or shall the thing formed say of him who formed it, 'He has no understanding'?" We live in a culture, a society that is turned around. We're backwards. But you know what? When we do that which is contrary to God's will, we are in effect saying to the one who made us, "God, you don't know what you're talking about. And God, I am my own man. I will do what I want." And rebellion, my friend, is the result. That's the attitude that we're talking about. An upside down world. "Surely you have things turned around." Luke 16 and verse 15, the Lord said, "What is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God." So even if the majority thinks that this is right, this is okay, or even if this feels right, Proverbs 14 and verse 12, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof the ways of death." Just because it may feel right, seem right, look right, be esteemed by men, does not mean that it is right. Only God's Word, the truth, is the determining standard. And if I want to be upright, I have to follow God's standard. No other standard will do. In Psalm 7, in verse 10, "My defense is of God, who saves the upright in heart." God is a just judge, and God is angry with the wicked every day. "My defense is of God, who saves" who? "The upright in heart." And listen, it's not just the upright actions. It's not just doing the right thing. I have to be upright in heart. I have to have the right attitude, the right perspective. And I want to say to you that the big difference between those who are upside down and those who are right side up, again, is the truth. It is our perspective on this world. Those who have a spiritual perspective contrasted with those who have a naturalistic perspective, a worldly perspective. Spiritual, worldly. That conflict has always been in existence in this world. And since the majority have always been the worldly perspective people, those who are spiritually minded have always been persecuted. That is the way that it has always been. The question is, which perspective will we have? That will determine whether we live upright in an upside-down world or not. Do we have a spiritual perspective or a materialistic, a worldly perspective? Jesus taught in Matthew 5 and verses 13 through 16, we are the salt of the earth. And he says in verse 14, you are the light of the world. Jesus here speaking of our influence in this upside-down world. How will we influence it? That depends on whether we allow our light. Verse 16, he says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Do we let our light shine? Now that shine has, that light has to be emanating from our heart. It has to be genuine. It has to be real. Do we allow God's light, Jesus Christ, to shine through us or not? We live in an upside down world. This world has given itself over to depravity. Are we going to live in a way that will be a positive influence? Or are we going to compromise with the world? We will not please God or be a positive influence in this world if we are like the world. And the more like the world we are, the less influence we have over it. And we live at a time in which even brethren, members of the church, and religious people in general think that if we become more like the world, we can win them over. It doesn't work. The only way that we can win the world, influence the world for good, is if we remain distinct from the world. In 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14 through chapter 7 and verse 1, the Apostle Paul emphasizes that very point. We are to come out from among them and be separate. And if we are separate, then we are received by God. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and I will receive you. In chapter 7 and verse 1, he says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And really, what I'm talking about this morning is holiness. Because we as Christians are to live upright. We are to live holy. The word holy in and of itself means to be separated from. To be separated from the world. We are to live differently. We're not going to fit in. We will always be the misfits. In Philippians 2 and verse 14, verses 14 through 16, the Apostle Paul teaches there that we are to shine in a crooked and perverse world. And we do that by holding forth the Word of life, the Scriptures, the Word of God. And we're not just to hold it up and walk around so that people can see that we have it. But we are to teach it. But more so, even we are to live it. Because when we fail to live it, then we fail, we quench our light. We no longer have that influence. And share faith by letting Jesus be seen in us. Philemon makes that very, or has made that point by Paul to Philemon in Philemon 1 and verse 6, or Philemon in verse 6, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ. If I'm going to share my faith, I have to live it. It has to be acknowledged in me. And I acknowledge it, but others acknowledge it. They see the good that I'm living. I'm sharing my faith by letting Jesus be demonstrated in my life. And I'm believing and understanding the truth. And thus, my perspective on this world changes. Ephesians 5 and verse 17, Paul says, be ye not unwise, but understanding. In Colossians 1, in verse 9, the Apostle Paul praying for the church
at Colossae, praying that their knowledge and understanding be increased. In fact, he says, for this very reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. We have to learn how to see things from this spiritual perspective. Too many of us look at things through the worldly perspective. Thus, we look at things upside down. We have to have this spiritual perspective. And yes, we will be thought of as odd, as weird by those who are in the world. What about our moral values? And the time that we have left this morning, I just want to run through some of these things and just give you some things to think about. We live in an upside down world. Morality has become, well, upside down. Homosexuality is accepted commonly. Adultery and divorce and things of that nature. Morality is something that is under attack. Our moral values. What values do we hold? We're going to hold some values. What are they? Are they spiritual or are they worldly? We are told in the Scripture, we're told by God to be morally pure. Ephesians 5 and verse 3. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. You have a whole list of sins there. Moral sins that are listed that we cannot engage in. We are to come out from the world. We're not to do those things. Those things are not to be named among Christians. Galatians 5, 19 through 21. 1 Peter 1, 13 through 16. We are to be holy as God is holy. So we are to be morally pure. We do so by following God's Word. Ephesians 5 and verse 3 through 18, of course, verse 7 says, do not be partakers with them. Have no fellowship with them, verse 11. Expose them. We as Christians cannot engage in immoral practices or even support and encourage immoral practices. Our objections must be heard. What are our moral values? Not only must our objections be heard, they must be seen. They must be seen by us following the moral standards that God has set forth. Living upright in an upside-down world is not easy. And when moral values all around us are falling and turned upside down, it makes it more difficult on us. You have the sense of rejection by those who are in the world. They think that you're nuts. They think that you're just an old fogey. They think that you don't have real understanding. That's the way they look at us. Who is it that doesn't have the real understanding? God's Word is true. And so those who follow it are the ones upright. What about our language? Of course, all these things come from a heart. If our heart is not pure, our morals won't be pure. Our values won't be pure. What about our language? Jesus did say that that which is in the heart comes out of the mouth. That which comes out of the mouth is what is coming from the heart. So, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting. Those things should not be coming out of our mouth. Filthiness, foolish talking, or coarse jesting. Or sound, what should be coming out of our mouth is sound speech that cannot be condemned. Words that are profitable. Let your speech always be seasoned with, always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. How much emphasis do we put on our language? You know, James, in James chapter 3, describes the tongue as a fire that cannot be tamed. It can be controlled, but it cannot be tamed. And I'll say to you, as he makes the point, in James chapter 3, he says in verse 10, out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? The problem is not with our mouth. The problem is with our heart. And so, if we're going to have our language correct, our morals correct, our heart needs to be changed, we need to truly believe
and see things from the spiritual perspective. See things through the eyes of faith in God's Word. Our language should be true, truthful, loving, helpful, instructive. All these things coming from a heart that is truly devoted to living for God. Living in an upright world. What about our speech? What about our clothing? Modest clothing. Professing godliness. 1 Timothy 2, 9 and 10. 1 Peter 3 and verse 3. By the way, you can fall off this log on either side too. You know, and the idea of modesty is not just thou shalt not wear skimpy clothing. Thou shalt not wear bikinis and things like that. That's not the idea of immodesty. It's included, but it's not the idea. It is doing that, or dressing in such a way, doing that which brings attention to yourself and saying, hey everybody, look at me. And we can do that by overdressing just like we can underdress. Immodesty. Immodest apparel. Our clothing, of course, it's getting cooler now. People are starting to put more clothes back on. And this is something that needs to be addressed probably every summer or every spring. But we need to think about how we dress, not caught up in the worldly fashions. And you look at the world, and it's both extremes. Just look at me, look at me by my fancy clothing, or look at me and my body. Both are wrong. Our clothing. Living upright in an upside down world. You know, I have four granddaughters now. Two of them right there. And it's difficult to find clothes. And as they get a little older, it's going to be more difficult to find clothes that are modest. So, this is a problem that we all face. Living upright in an upside down world. What about our entertainment? The majority of television is... Could you describe it as wholesome? Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 tells us the kind of things that we ought to be thinking on. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Well, when you think about the entertainment that's on television, and I know it's just entertainment, it's fiction, but at the same time, a lot of it is immoral. And the more we feed on that kind of stuff, what is that going to do to our perspective? The music that we listen to, the places that we go, the books that we read. Do we realize that the things that go into our mind affect us? And it's not just the seeing or the hearing, because we live in a depraved world. Yes, we're going to see things. You go to the mall. You cannot go to the mall without, especially in the summertime, without seeing things you'd rather not see if you're a faithful child of God. So it's not just the seeing of these things. It is the consumption of these things. And our mind is easily contaminated by the garbage that's out there. We have to be careful. Our mind, our ideology about things is affected. We need to realize that. Our attitude, our perspective on life in general. Complaining, nagging, negative, hateful, unhappy. Just a general attitude doesn't mean that we are unhappy means we have an unhappy attitude. There are certain things, events that take place in life that cause us problems, that cause us pain. But what about our overall attitude? In Matthew 5, 3 through 12, we have what is referred to as the Beatitudes. And of course, humility, hating sin, meekness, hungering for God, hungering for righteousness, merciful, being pure and sincere in heart, peacemakers, being faithful to God even though we are persecuted for that faithfulness. The attitudes that we are to have as Christians, the dispositions that we are to have, are different from those of the world. I was getting off of the interstate Friday evening. Thursday evening. I was getting off there at Alexander, and I got off, and traffic was really bad Thursday afternoon. And I got off the interstate. I mean, it was bumper to bumper on the access road. And I had my blinker on as soon as I got off the exit. I was trying to get somebody to let me over. Nobody would. I got right there, right up close to where I would turn to go back over the overpass, and I found a little spot, so I squeezed in this little spot in between these two trucks. And I went on around, and I got up over the overpass, and when you get over the overpass, it's two lane, and the guy that was behind me pulled up beside me, and he cursed me out. Asked me where I learned how to drive. And I just wish that I could have, at the moment, I almost wish that I could have reached through that window and just slapped him or something. But I know that's not the right thing, the right attitude to have. But I wish that I could have talked to him. Because I had my blinker on the whole time. Where is considerate people? Where are considerate people these days? It's getting less and less that people are considerate about the needs and the of others. People are so negative and hateful. Selfish. We need a supreme love for God. We need sincere love for our fellow man. We need faith and hope. You know, in Philippians chapter 4, going back to Philippians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul there, that great chapter of hope, Paul emphasizes in verse 12, he says, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I've learned both to be full and hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. No matter what my circumstance in life may be, a person who is upright, sees things as they really are, realizes that all these things in life, all these problems, all these difficulties, they're temporary. Of course, I also understand that all these temporal blessings are temporary. Temporal. Hence, temporary. Everything is temporary in this world. I have a different attitude because I have a different perspective formed by my knowledge of the truth of God's Word and my compliance with it. Living upright in an upside-down world is not easy. I'm not saying it's easy. What I'm saying is, it's possible. And the more we study God's Word, apply God's Word, and come to understand the truth and truly develop a spiritual perspective on life, the easier it becomes. Our attitude is necessary. Our right, godly attitude to make it through this world. Our spirituality. Finally, living upright in an upside down world. What about our spirituality? Well, our attendance, our worship, and the fruit that is produced in us. Now, listen. Attendance and worship, those are things we do. But these things, again, must come from the heart. We must sincerely desire to worship and to serve God. Bearing the fruit of the Spirit is not some accident. The fruit of the Spirit is the product of adhering to God's teachings in all things. Seeing things from God's perspective. We learn to care for one another, and it becomes a genuine concern, a genuine care. And when we are in public, we don't hide it. We're not ashamed of it. Romans 1 and verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation unto all that believe, to also to the Jew and also to the Greek. But our public practice. No, we should not do things just to be seen by men. But nor should we hide, nor should we disguise who we are. We need to be willing to demonstrate and acknowledge publicly our faith in God. Are we living upright in an upside down world? We have to look, each of us look at ourselves. I can't answer that for you. But what about your morality? What about your language? And what about your clothing, your entertainment, or your attitude, your spirituality? I mean, are these things in line with God's Word? Are you focused on serving God and pleasing Him? You know, there was a good article Gary Henry wrote along this line, pleasing God. Pleasing God. A man who wants to please God, how does he live? A man who doesn't care whether he pleases God or not, how is he going to live? Friend, it's not about pleasing your parents. It's not about pleasing the elders or the preacher or anybody else. It's about pleasing God. And more of us need to have the mindset of Joseph, Genesis chapter 39. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? We need to have God as the object of our desires, at the object of our understanding. We need to have God to guide us and direct us in life. Romans 12 and verse 1, Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, demonstrate, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That verse pretty well sums up what I've been trying to tell you this morning. We cannot be conformed or pressed into the image of this world, but we must be transformed by the renewing of our mind, the truth of God's Word. What about you, my friend? Have you been pressed into the world's image? Are you too worldly in your thinking? Are you thereby too worldly in your actions? Well, that is upside down. We need to be upright people. And if you need help this morning, maybe you need to become a child of God. You need to become upright. You need to become upright by being forgiven of your sins through Jesus Christ. Confess your faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Repent of your sins and be buried with Him in baptism for the remission of your sins. And to be raised to walk in newness of life. And that newness of life is going to be different. People in the world. You need to be converted, though. It's not just about going through steps. We're talking about a true conversion of the way we think that results in a conversion, a difference in the way we live. Maybe you're here this morning, you've once obeyed the gospel, but you've reverted back to the world. You've become defiled by the world. Repent. If you need to make public confession, anything we can do to help you, won't you come? Just stand.